Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is March 8th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I gotta say, I'm doing pretty good. I just wrapped an awesome day out at Royal County Down. 27 holes. Great windy day. Sun was out. I mean, just a spectacular golf course. I gotta say, it's unbelievable.
Good. Not a bad golf course.
Yeah.
We'll have probably some more details and specifics on the why and the what. And some photography, you know, our Explorations podcast, which we'll be recording here in a little bit later tonight. I think we're going to record that after a Guinness or two, just as a maybe tease
I need a
warning.
Or two. That golf course can beat you up.
Yeah, yeah. We are in person. We're on our new time schedule. We just walked 27 holes at Royal County Down. We got in. We're like, I would like to see that front nine again. And we kind of worked our way back over there and went around again. It was fabulous. Fabulous day. Donated a couple more balls to some of that gnarly high grass off the fairway that I was hitting it wild to on a couple occasions. But it's worth it walking around.
We lost fabulous. Our looper. We lost, yeah, we lost a lot, right, more golf balls.
Incredible. Incredible day. Even for, yeah, my handicap, high handicap, mid hand, whatever it is, just a great, great day. So excited. We'll see the Irish Open there in a few months at Royal County Down.
Might be event of the year.
Do you want an Irish Open story that we heard again? Speaking of the Irish Open, a little segue there. You like that? Royal County Down, where we were today, we'll have the Irish Open. We were at a place yesterday that's had an Irish Open. Heard a good story about
we were at Port Marnock.
Our favorite Waffle House connoisseur, Ian Woosdom, two-time winner of the Irish Open at Port Marnock.
He won in 88 and 89.
That's right. He won it by 7 in 88 and won in a playoff in 89.
Our hosts, the two Daras.
Yeah.
Great guys. They were, you know, they have this board that's got all the tournaments.
Yeah.
And the amateur Port Marnock hosted the winners.
Walker Cup. Yeah.
And they had fixated on 1960 Canada Cup, which was the World Cup of golf that Arnold Palmer and Sam Seed won. Yeah. And they were pointing at that. We fixated on the back to back Ian Woosnam wins.
And we heard a story. We've heard this maybe in some detail before. Woozy.
There's a public course across the like bay
the
or
estuary,
inlet.
Yeah, that's off the one side of Port Marnock. And they were having a barbecue or something. There was like an American, there was like a festival.
Saturday of the tournament,
Woozy's leading the Irish Open. And he goes, he's, you know, I don't know, driving around the estuary on his way back to the hotel or something. Sees walking by, I don't know, sees this barbecue festival party, whatever it is. Says, oh, that looks like fun. I'm going to go get involved. He gets involved. Apparently, just takes a full rip. He's leading the Irish Open, the 54-hole mark. Takes a woozy rip, as you would expect. We've done the spotlight on him.
Last man at the barbecue.
Last man at the barbecue, first man at breakfast. They found him asleep on the stairs of this club, this golf course, public golf course. He was asleep on the stairs. I think it was like...
A guy tripped over him.
But it wasn't it like 6 in the morning? Did I have this wrong?
I think it was at night.
3 in the morning? 6
at night.
I thought they said it was like 6 in the morning. He was asleep on the steps of this golf course. He's leading the Irish Open. So the guy kicks him, wakes him up. I guess they carried him somewhere. They dragged him out of there, carried him off to somewhere next. They find him.
He fast forward to fast noon forward, or whatever.
Sunday, right, final round, final group. He's in the lead at the Irish Open. He's in the locker room. Poor Mardik. Head in his hands. Like, I can't do this. I can't play. Hung over as just a dead duck.
His caddy's saying, boss, you got this.
You can do this.
You can do this.
He hasn't hit a ball. Wouldn't dare hit a ball. Wouldn't dare go out in the sunshine at this point. It's just head in his hands. He says, I can't do this. Head in my hands. Go get me a Guinness. So the caddy runs off, gets him a Guinness, brings it to him. He's up in like 5-10 minutes. Gives him the Guinness. Just downs the Guinness, you know, in a matter of minutes, if not seconds. Guinness is gone. Head comes out of the hands. Goes, all right, let's go. Goes off to the first tee. I guess laces one and just cruises. Shoots like 70 or something. So just cruises to a victory after being barely able to stand. Head in his hands, 10 minutes. Woken up on the steps, sleeping on the steps of this golf club, so hammered. And then goes off and wins. And a pretty solid European Tour event at the time, when all, especially in that day and age, 88 and 89, at Port Marnock. Pretty good woozy story. That's exactly the kind of woozy story
you expect. They don't make them like woozy anymore.
You know what they don't make anymore? They don't make the DP World Tour like it anymore. Interestingly, not around on that big board release. PGA Tour Enterprises board. I didn't see a lot of DP World Tour representation.
You kind of wonder about the strategic alliance. How strategic it is anymore.
I don't know. Is there a strategic alliance? I wonder about that. I wonder about a framework agreement and how much of a framework is there anymore. PIF not involved in any of this. This was announced, whatever it was, Wednesday night. PGA Tour, you know, they've got players next week, right? They got to have some answers for people. Jay Monahan speaking to the press.
They definitely need some answers.
So they did this last year at Bay Hill. They announced, what was it, how the models, the new signature event model at Bay. Remember? And then they went to the players.
Yeah.
So, Andy, this feels like a little bit of a trend. They're just making shit up on the fly. They don't know what they're doing. Goes from one seat to the next, one year to the next. They don't really have a plan. They don't know what they want to do long term. They know what they want to do the next day or tomorrow or the next week. But there seems to be no strong central leadership or plan or vision for the future. We've now gone from a framework agreement on June 6th to this SSG PGA Tour Enterprises board that has 13 seats. Do I read that right? 13 or 12 seats? It's 12 seats, maybe. 13, I believe.
13, yeah.
There's too many boards. The PGA Tour policy board has gone from 12.
Well, they have to have a board. They had to have a board.
Of course. PGA Tour policy board, in conjunction with this announcement, has gone from 12 to 14, adding Joe Ogilvie and Jay Monahan, who's now on the policy board. So they got a policy board of 14 seats. They've got the PGA Tour Enterprises board that has the six player directors, Monahan, Ogilvie, four of the SSG guys, John Henry, someone
Cohen.
There's the son of Cohen, I think it is, Andrew Cohen. So just board seats. I don't know, Andy. There's I guess I it's hard for me to put a lot of stock in this, like as this is the future and these are the people who are going to be leading. Tiger Woods is now vice president of the PGA Tour. Jay Monahan's the executive of the CEO of this PGA Tour Enterprises. Joe Ogilvie, who's played on the PGA Tour, seems like a smart guy.
Was a pack guy when he was on the tour.
Right. But there are like six billion people in the world. It's just like, find the smartest businessman.
It's a player run tour.
That may be Ogilvie. I don't know. But like, find someone who's best suited to this. And from all accounts, this got to be Cantlay's thing, right? Cantlay really wanted Ogilvie involved. Joe Ogilvie's been vocal to the point of thirsty on various platforms with smart
fried egg pod
insights. Yeah, with smart, you know, very smart insights, but certainly very public, I would say, in maneuvering or I don't know, putting himself up for consideration for such a spot. Seems like Cantlay wanted him involved. He's now involved. I just, like, this is now we're going on whatever it is, 15 months of just announcements about boards and agreements and frameworks and alliances and enterprises now. And I realize there's a lot of money here.
I think the hard thing, there's a lot of work that has to be done. And I want to sympathize a little bit here. There's a lot of work that has to be done in a short period of time. And at every step of the way, they have to make statements. Like, this is a very public thing. They're re-engineering their entire organization. And I think the hard thing about it is that they have to do it, like, they have to make public addresses all the time. Like, Jay Monahan has to talk at the players. Whether or not it's a good time for him to talk, he has to go up there and talk because that's the tradition. And I think that makes it hard because this stuff takes time. But it seems like, just like, I just get the vibe that they're trying to do this without the PIF. And that seems to be the way that this kind of board is going. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think that's the fear of all of this is, at this point, you have made the PIF okay. Like, going to live is totally acceptable because of the framework agreement.
Certified.
You lost, like, all the sports washing leverage, all the backlash leverage that you had when you did the framework agreement. And I just, if they are attempting to go without PIF, like, I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, they're ready to invest $3 billion or $4 billion or whatever into the PGA Tour.
The PIF is.
What are they willing to invest in their own tour?
Maybe not that. I mean, that could be the other play here. Maybe they are trying to, like, let's go back to being the staring contest. And, you know, you have the interest, the stomach to do this another 2 years.
I think my issue with that is, like, let's go back to the staring contest and continue
rating
to just put golf fans in an awful situation, which I don't know. This trip is wonderful. Here I saw a headline. I haven't read the article yet, but just the mere title of it made me chuckle and think, huh, that's very true. Jeff Shackelford wrote something for Lynx Magazine titled like, "Why We Don't Need Professional Golfers." Mm-hmm. And the longer this goes on, the more and more true that becomes, and the more and more, the less and less relevant their organizations and they are becoming, the longer this little quibble war over millions of dollars and, you know, for dozens of players happens. This is the reality. It's like, you know what? Don't spend your time watching the PGA Tour. Don't spend your time watching LIV. Go play golf.
Yeah.
Go enjoy it, because, like,
well, the product stinks right now.
It's not terrible.
Been good, and the primary points of relevance and interest have been around, like, feuding and wars and rating players, and, oh, we just announced Tiger Woods as the vice chairman.
Exciting,
like, that's not
stuff.
Sustainable. That's not like it, that's not a sustainable product of interest in any way. And I guess like, my confidence gets lower and lower that anything is sort of a long-term solution with each iteration, each kind of, I get what you're saying. The re-engineering, the work is big.
It is.
But the framework agreement was big and that's dead. So if it's not dead, it seems worthless compared to what it was or what we thought it was. And so, like, why am I supposed to think this is the next one? I get there are some really important people with $3 billion, but say LIV takes a bunch of high-profile guys within the next 4 months. All of a sudden, your board and your interest and stomach changes a little, changes quite a bit. So, like, I'm just sick of, like, these press releases that have, like, seem to only confuse matters, announce titles, announce new initiatives, and, for me, don't seem to have any kind of real substance or staying power or at least we should be skeptical of them based on how everything's gone now for 2 years. These guys are making it up on the fly. I know there's big changes that have to be made, but it's just nonstop. It's nonstop. Like, it's like almost, I get it. It's more important titles and more money, but it's like you and I just saying, like, no way. No, instead of calling it this, we're now going to call it this segment. And it's,
we should start there's shotgun four start people involved now
instead of three. Yeah, it's and, all bullshit.
And formulate a
it's
board.
All, it's like, I'm not saying these are unserious people, but it just...
Who'd be your first pick for a board member for Shotgun Start Enterprises?
Who would be our first board member?
Who would be your first pick? Who would you...
I mean, if you would have us, I would take Ian Woosdom. I think that feels relevant right now.
Woosie?
We want a little ire, a little hot, you know? Guy who likes a good time. Woosie would be up there for me. How about you?
I might go with Monty. Just like his general distaste for, you know, American golf fans.
Loves Mountain Dew. Taste. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, maybe I'm going too hard on this or too unimpressed.
Well, I think they had to do...
I'm supposed to be like, wow, a new board, another one, cool.
Here's the thing. If they didn't do
it,
if they didn't do this, next week everybody would be like, what's going on? What's happening? And then people would be like, nothing's happening. It's a chicken or an egg situation, or the egg situation.
Right. But all this stuff is... I had to have someone walk me through this like I was a child. And I'm an idiot. I will happily cop to being not the brightest bulb. But this person had to walk me through it like, no. Now this board's 14. It was 12. The PGA Tour Enterprises, the PTA board, is 13. It just gets a little tiresome that this is the primary function of the PGA Tour. And
Can we talk about something else?
Distance it further. Yeah.
How are you ever going to make decisions with 14 people on the board?
Fair.
That sounds also my insane.
Thing. Yeah. It's going to be one person making decisions and whipping the votes. And Jay Monahan hasn't so far been the person to do that. He's not a strong central
figure. How about Jay getting a promotion? Getting more.
And apparently now he's on the PGA Tour. He's on both. So he got added with
Ogilvy. He's locked in.
So... That's fine. Good for him. Anyways, I don't know. Justin Lauer, if you want to talk about golf, Friday golf winner of the gold jacket is leading at Bay Hill, early at Bay Hill. It's late here in Newcastle, Northern Ireland, but early at Bay Hill, Justin Lauer shoots a 5-under-67, leading with Hideki Matsuyama. We'd be happy about a Justin Lauer win again, but I don't know if that would be the momentum the tour was looking for, but it's early.
It's halfway through first quarter.
We'll see what happens. You have any other reaction to the big tour news? That's it, right? I mean, I don't even know if it's big, but that's Tiger Woods in that. Everybody's like, right. Tiger's the vice chairman now.
I think I love Tiger Woods. I think I fell in love with golf because of Tiger Woods, partly. And I will say, you know, I think this is like the thing that golf does is like, because somebody's really a great golfer, they assume that they're going to be great at all these things for golf. But I do wonder with Tiger, like, I don't know if he's like shown to be the best business person again, like what we're talking about with qualifications. I mean, he has a lot of influence because of how well he played on the golf course and how much he means to the sport. But is Tiger a businessman? It seems like that position would be a business focused position.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like, but like, Tiger's got a lot of stuff going on.
I don't think any of this is super thought out in a long-term way. That's all I'd say.
I also was wondering with these board seats on PGA Tour Enterprises, how long's the term? How long are these? Because if you're on a board, like a corporate board, you're kind of on there for a long time.
Yeah.
Do these board seats on PGA Tour Enterprises run like the way a policy board, or is like, are these the guys for like the next 10 years? That was another question I had. Because like a lot of times with boards, like you form your board and you're kind of, that's your board.
You're on. It's a board.
It's not, you know, corporations have changes, but it's not a lot of changes. So is this like the people? Are they making, like, what's the commitment level? These are all questions I have, and I don't really want to talk about it anymore, to be completely honest. I'm tired of it, and I think there's more interesting stuff to talk about.
You want to talk about Scott Piercy, Joe Highsmith leading Puerto Rico Open? Is that more interesting?
Who's at the bottom of the board?
You want to check our bottom for in-out alternate?
Yeah.
We've got Blaine Hale, sad, burly boy. Oh, God. T131. Aram Yenidejian, Argentine golfer, looks like. Aaron Wise, I guess, is coming back. You know, he took a break. Derek Ernst is down there, as is often the case with Derek Ernst, since he won at Wells Fargo.
So. Derek Ernst.
That's your Puerto Rico Open update. We touched on Bay Hill. We're not getting enough coverage of that over here, so we'll have to check in more.
Well, we don't have Wi-Fi.
We have Wi-Fi, just not good Wi-Fi.
We don't have the Wi-Fi is broken, so now we're on a hotspot.
We have a working thermostat, so it's better than LA, though, for that regard. We don't have to break into the thermostat like it's a...
We got a beautiful view.
We're looking over the... Whatever this is, the Irish Sea, I think. I don't know. We're looking over the sea. It's right out the window. It's fabulous. So, also just out the window is spring golf season in the United States. We played golf here. I wouldn't say it was warm, but it was passable here in Northern Ireland this Thursday. But it's coming in the United States. You need to get your bag dialed in. It's just around the corner. You go to Club Champion, use the promo code FRIEDEGG. You get 50% off a full bag fitting with the purchase of a club. You were hitting your PXGs out there today.
Not well.
No, you weren't hitting well.
It was a tough day.
Do you need to get refit?
No, I need my legs to come back. Like, just out there swinging with my arms. It's terrible. A windy course. You just no clue which way the ball's going to go. One swing feels good. The next one, it's just, God, I hit it so bad. I was just thinking, like, what was the best shot you hit today?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
There were a couple. I hit a bunch of chips I was very, very happy with. I had a bunch of short game shots I was happy with.
I don't think I hit a good shot all day. I hit a couple good drives. But, like, I honestly don't think I hit a good shot.
Oh, I hit a 9-iron. Into what's the green with the bunker left, but it all runs right to left. It was like 12 or 13 in there.
Oh, yeah,
hit a 9-iron, used the slope, and it kind of came 13. Right down to what a 5 hole. Feet or something. That was a great hole. Great hole. So good drive, and then hit a 9-iron, stuffed it to birdie putt. That was my shot. So, yeah,
I had a bad day, but it was not the club. Unlike a lot of people, I'm not going to blame my clubs. No. You know why? Because I went and I got fit data. By a master fitter who gave me all the numbers. It was on and told me this is exactly what you need. And I've seen that performance enough. It had nothing to do with my clubs today.
You had the data. You tried out all the different combos. You got your PXGs. And you just were throwing your arms at them today. The ball. Okay.
The first tee shot went left. And for me, if a ball goes left, it's over. As soon as the tee shot goes left, it's over.
That was not the place to miss necessarily from that hole. So, but a good day nonetheless. And
how about Snorren Kjeldsen?
What, he won the Irish
reigning,
Open there.
The reigning Irish Open champ there. I love that.
The king of RCD, Snorren Kjeldsen. Why do you love that?
I love Snorren Kjeldsen.
Why?
I just love that he's like this little Danish guy who's like hitting it out there 270. He's just like old school control player.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you got to drive the ball well out there.
You do.
If you're going to go to RCD, go get dialed in at Club Champion.
Promo code is FRIEDEGG, all caps, FRIEDEGG. Gets, or one word, I should say, not all caps. I don't know if it matters, caps, but fried egg, one word, gets you 50% off the fitting cost with the purchase of a club. Thanks to Club Champion.
Hey, do you think Guinness tastes better here?
I think it probably does. I think it probably does, but we talk about it too much.
I think
too
this is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous made up thing.
You're ridiculous in that, like, you have people, relative experts of the trade, telling you, who've had it copious amounts on both sides of the pond recently, Irish people here telling you, like, absolutely unequivocally, it is better. I live in the States. It is better here. I'm having one right now. It is better. And you just won't believe it. You won't. It'd be like someone coming up to you who's never read a book on golf course architecture and telling you, what, that front nine at Royal County Down stinks. What's better is the front nine at DLF or something like that. There,
I'd say I respect that take.
You would have, like, you have people telling you, people who are in sort of both worlds, drinking in both sides of the Atlantic, and you just won't believe it. You say, oh, this is just a made up thing that the Guinness is better here. Why are you so skeptical of it?
You just
want to push back on the talking point.
I've had a Guinness in America and I've had a Guinness here, and I haven't noticed a negligible difference. And maybe, you know, like, listen, I'm not going to act like I drink Guinness all the time.
Sure.
So maybe that's the problem. Maybe I don't drink Guinness enough to where I will.
I just think the whole thing is, we talk about it, like it's a cliche at this point, the Guinness tastes better here, but I'm not suggesting it's false or it's.
You know what, one of my favorite things that we've discovered here?
What?
The fake Port Marnock situation.
That's a fabulous deal.
There's one
dumb American after another coming through the turnstile thinking he's playing.
It's just like the Fairmont St. Andrews. It's
exactly like the Fairmont.
Same thing's happening at Port Marnock.
Yes. You got people sitting over there in their cul-de-sacs and their subdivision in America booking trips to the Ron Port Marnock, the Ron St. Andrews, and these Euros just cackling over here.
It's unbelievable.
So there's a Port Marnock Lynx, and then there's Port Marnock Golf Club.
Port Marnock Golf Club's
the private
one,
deal.
The one that's, like, probably going to host an Open at some point.
Yeah. Rory, like, said it should host an Open. You know, that's rumors and reports. Who knows? And Port Marnock Lynx is very close to it, right around the bend.
A couple hundred yards away.
Several hundred yards. Don't go a couple. I think the Port Marnock Golf Club people get, sensitive. There's several hundred yards.
700 yards.
To the border, to the edge of the property.
In between.
And there's just people going there. Oh, I played Port Marnock. Maybe not of the same quality or standard. We haven't seen it, though.
That's right. That'll be exploration season two, is debunking the Port Marnock.
Do a week debunking the Port Marnock myth. But yeah, that was your favorite discovery so far? That and trying to just stir the pot about the Guinness not being better. Non-golf edition.
I love the capitalism around naming your course the same as the famous course around. Like, having almost the same name. I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to find land in Wheaton, Illinois, and I'm going to call it Chicago Club. Not Chicago Golf Club, Chicago Club. I'll build a dumpy course, and I'll just pick up people and say, oh, I went and played Chicago. I'll make it Chicago GC.
Chicago Golf Course?
Chicago Golf Course.
But you'll just say it Chicago GC, CGC. Yeah. You could do it. Pull it off.
You could do this all over the place.
Well, it's like the knockoff brands, right? That change, like, you know, that what's the fake Dr. Pepper, like Dr. something or other. There's, like, all sorts of this stuff that they do around the world. So
there used to be, I don't know if there still is, there used to be a burger place right next to Au Cheval.
Yeah.
The famous Chicago burger place.
Yeah, right.
And the burger place, like, I remember, like, there's a couple, I went there a couple times because I went and checked in at Au Cheval, and it's like, oh, it's 2 hours. I was like, I'm just going to go to this. I think it was called Grange. I was like, I'm just going to go to Grange.
All right, let's move on. We're just kind of winding down the day here. You see the Hong Kong, Live Hong Kong course?
6,700 yards.
Someone asked Bryson if he's ever played a course that short. He's like, no. I mean, you know, since he was 10 or whatever it is. It's like, no, I don't think I have. I don't know what I'm going to do. This course hosts, like, Hong Kong Open. It has, like, a bit of history. It's hosted high-level competitive golf. But, yes, I don't think they know what they're going to do on a 6,700-yard course.
What are you most excited about for Live Hong Kong?
Most excited, Anthony Kim. No, I don't know. The Cleeks getting over their slow play issues. They've now had Dick Bland and Adrian Morong take a stroke.
You know what's kind of nuts?
Can they speed it up?
The AK stuff's gone. It was a 1 week thing.
It's nuts.
I'll check the leaderboard.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about him finishing DFL.
I mean, He took 12 years off.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine by me. But yes, you're right. The buzz around it has sort of dissipated quickly.
The depth of his DFL, I think...
11 shots.
...caused this to not be even a two-week story. If he plays well, he needs to play well in some round. He has to shoot a 68. In order to have any buzz.
Do you feel like that
can reignite it. But if he keeps being at the rear, he's just a worse version of Siwon Kim.
God. Do you feel like it's going a little bit that way with, like, Jon Rahm? Not that he's playing poorly, whether he plays well or poorly, but, like, I don't really care that he's playing. I will at the Masters, quite obviously. I want to see him. I love to watch him play golf. I don't know. I'm not saying he's forgotten. Of course, he's a mega talent. But
the other thing is there's nothing. You have no perspective, and this is... One of the things that every sport thrives on is long-standing records. And, you know, oh, it's tennis season. Indian Wells is around, Wells is the lead up to, it's the first big hard court, mm-hmm. you know, Matt.
Summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. American circuit.
And in the NBA, it's like, oh, you know, look what he did against this defense. Look at what their stats are. With Liv, and especially because the courses are so different. I mean, they played Jeddah, which is not very challenging, right?
Par 17.
And now they go to Hong Kong, which is 6,700 yards. Mayakoba, watching Mayakoba, it was like, oh, this is a PGA Tour course. Like, I know I've seen golf on this before, but they're going to these golf courses, and then it's this other aspect of the competition where he's not winning. So what does it mean? And are these scores good? I think, like, I'm not really worried about Jon Rahm.
No, but
watching this generational player play with no context. It'd be like if LeBron. Not LeBron isn't the right comp for Jon Rahm, I don't think, but it'd be like someone like LeBron going and playing in China for like a year. And it's like, okay, so what do these stats mean?
Yeah, I don't know if it's more competitive than like that dropping off from NBA to China.
Yeah.
It, like, the Liv has real guys. I guess it's just like, I don't know. I don't. Maybe it's just me too. That's fine. Maybe people prefer that. See, I just think the buzz and the momentum around Rahm has sort of stalled out a little bit. I'd be very excited to see him play major championships and against everyone. And like, that's also the case with the tour. They're struggling with not having everybody around as well. And I'm intrigued by Joaquin Niemann. I'm excited about Joaquin Niemann, but he's winning. Like he win, like I want to see him do it at the Masters and the US Open and those things. So, and we'd say that about the tour. I just was wondering, as we talk about AK, where are we with John Rahm? Is that sort of,
you want to get to golf advice?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
sgsgolfadvice@gmail.com. You said you had two or three.
Yeah.
Something on Tesla. People getting back.
I got some Friday feedback, some Tesla feedback.
All right. What was it?
All right. Hey, guys. I'm a Tesla owner. I'm a golfer, a Tesla owner. And at 62, the only thing I fight is with my back getting up in the morning. The story about taking a Tesla, this is from a couple weeks ago. This is golf advice from taking a Tesla on a golf trip, on a long-hauled golf trip. The story about taking a Tesla on a golf trip was hilarious. And as stupid as the owner was for taking it, the others proved how much more stupid they were to agree to take it. But the owner told them it was going to be one charge.
Yeah.
I love my Tesla, but it has a special purpose, back and forth to work, period. And I walk with an electric remote cart. I do not push. I walk. Going to the other thing about the push cart.
What? Can I just say something? There are cars that can have both purposes. Why limit yourself to one that can only do back and forth to work? Is that a fair point to ask? I get it. I get it.
I feel like you're just very anti.
No, I mean, if I can have one that does both, why not take that one that I can take on a road trip? So, I don't know. I guess we're the ones missing the point. We're the ones that, but I guess it's just something I would ask. Why don't you do it both? So, find one that does both. What's the question?
Let's move on. No question. That was just feedback.
Okay.
Just an anecdote. All right. 28, married, no interest in fighting, but mind could be changed. And this is about a trip to the Masters. This past summer when the Masters had their lottery draw, I managed to win one ticket for the Wednesday practice round. I've never been to Augusta before. It's been a bucket list item for me as long as I've been a kid. The good news is that I won this ticket, but the bad news is that it's the only day I won for. I mean, that's not bad news. Like, yeah, nobody wins.
Great news.
That's You're great good. News.
There's no bad side to this.
That said, it may be my only chance of going to Augusta, considering that the general public has a less than 1% chance of winning a ticket in the lottery.
Is that true? Less than 1%? Yeah.
So that is true. This is one chance. You got to take it up. What is your recommendation for Wednesday at the Masters? I've been to so many golf tournaments before. I've seen pros play many times before. My interest is much more in the course. Is it actually worth seeing the par 3 contest that the Masters make such a big deal out of? I'm not sure how much I actually care about watching Tom Hoagie try to get a back-to-back title. Sorry, Andy. Or do you think that my time would be better served on the main course for the whole day, considering that I only have one day there, hoping to get as much out of the day as possible? This is great. So, you know, other things to consider here. You're probably going to stop in the merch tent, and that's going to be, that's a 40-minute process,
at
right?
At least. Might be more.
You got to build in when you want to do that. And I would probably
do it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Don't go around lunch. Don't go for probably, I mean, if you're there at the crack of dawn, maybe, but don't do it at lunch. Just do it on your way out, I would guess.
Yeah. If you do it at the end of the day, you don't have to carry it around.
Yeah. And feel like you've seen everything and then you go. Don't waste your time.
All right. So you've seen a lot of pro golf. You've seen guys hit shots. What I would do is, you're going to be there early. I'd walk the golf course backwards.
Yep.
This is my advice. Start on 18 green and walk backwards.
Yep.
That way you see the greens and then you see the holes and how they relate to the holes.
Do you want to talk about when you should do that?
Right away.
Okay.
I mean, you'll have the back nine to yourself at that time.
I would wait for early.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would also encourage you to walk it.
So this is what I was going to say.
During the par three.
So then I would pick a few of your favorite holes and just kind of sit there and watch shots into them. You know, in the middle of the day. You're not going to walk around all day.
Which ones would you pick?
It's a long day.
Nine green. It's a great one to watch shots into.
Nine green's cool. And then you get like all the other players. Like there's just a lot of activity going around there.
Yep.
I really like watching shots into, I think 17 green's underrated. So I like watching shots into there. I mean, it's hard not to go down. I think going all the way down to the green on 13 is really great. There, you can get over to the right side and you can watch shots
way
in
back.
There. You have to do that.
Yep.
I think around 12 is a little overrated. It's way too crowded.
You can't see across. I mean, you can,
I would go there, but then, you know, let's just say then you're going to have lunch and everything, you're around. I would go to the par three early. Catch like the early groups, walk around there. It's a cool atmosphere.
Have you been over there?
Yeah. I went last year for the first time. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
It's just, it's a completely different feel than the tournament where it's almost like, it's like a outdoor concert type feel where people are just sitting down. Yeah. It's super casual. Have a couple, maybe have a beer or two there. And then I would go back to the course when things start to get packed over there, then I go right to the golf course and walk it the normal way.
Okay.
You're going to be tired. You're going to have walked a ton, but that's a great full day there.
I think it's pretty spiritual out there on Wednesday night when everybody else is over on the other course and there's probably nobody grinding. You know, probably no players out there. Jim Nance does his walk down to Amen Corner the night before, I think, the Masters. Maybe that's, he does that Sunday, but I think it's Wednesday. You know, it's just like spiritual out there on the big course.
They do like a lot of hole cutting too. Like they'll have the Masters, the tournament committee will be out there.
Green jackets.
Checking out holes. Yep. It's just a cool time to be out there. And they'll kick you out of there. I want to say like five.
I thought you could be out there. No,
I feel like they kind of move you out of there.
Okay. But yeah, it is fun to watch them.
I mean, there's nobody around. It's amazing.
Pick holes and kind of test different greens and stuff like that. So yeah, that's a good one.
So that's it.
Wednesday's a good draw. I wouldn't be bummed about that. It's a fine draw. It's a great opportunity to go and do a bunch
of
stuff. Just
got
to
hope for good weather.
All right, let's do one more. The OG Piss Bear in Chicago. The Piss Bears. Piss Bear proliferating. Fellas, this was a long time ago. A friend reminded me of the story last week. He played high school golf in the western suburbs of Chicago and had a match against blank school at the Links of Carillon, which is a housing development golf course.
Golf course.
I was in the first group in our match and was waiting in the clubhouse for our team to finish. My favorite part when you have to pry to find the scores of your buddy's shot if they play bad. Our number six golfer comes back in and is immediately confronted by an older woman who apparently had been waiting in the clubhouse for him. "That's him! That's the guy!" she yells as he comes in. He was 6'5", ginger basketball player who played golf for fun, so he was easy to spot. Quote, "He was peeing in my yard. I have a picture to prove it." Hence the name the Piss Bear, apparently. The lady yells. Apparently he had gone over to the tree in this woman's yard and peed during his round, and she was hoping to arrest him for public indecency. Couple questions. Is peeing on the golf course punishable under law? I mean, that we're not the people that, like, could be. Maybe that's in some statute. I don't know. Or is this sort of an accepted safe space for going to the bathroom in public? What are your rules for peeing on the course? With him being a minor in high school, is this lady under legal consequences for taking a picture? I like how you turn it and you flip it on him. Are you the pervert for taking pictures of being a minor
in
high school?
So he was peeing in her yard?
It looks like a tree that happened to be in the woman's yard. He probably found a tree. Maybe it was just over the line. I don't know. You can pee on the golf course.
There's nothing worse than when you're struggling to find a place to pee.
We can't just make this a police state. Come on. You can pee on the golf course. Now, be classy about it, if that makes sense. That sounds like an oxymoron. Find a good spot.
There's nothing worse than when you can't find a spot.
Yeah.
And then you walk two holes and you just have to pee more and more.
I mean, this very problem, maybe leading to the destruction of professional golf as we know it, because John Rahm had to, you know, had a big bone to pick with the tour for not having enough pissers out there. I watched
Do you think
him.
LIV has pissers on every
Yes,
hole?
Apparently they do. They said in Las Vegas they were every 10 feet away in the Vegas event. I watched him at the Players last year jump over the ropes of Sawgrass and wander into like the jungle off of one of these holes, like just through the crowd. It's because he had to leak in public. I don't know. It could have been on private property at that point because he had to go so far away from the crowds. But you can do this. Probably wouldn't do it adjacent to someone's house.
No.
And this woman's crazy. She needs to, like, look, you live on a golf course. You might have a golf ball coming into your yard. And you might get this. Do I think you should get this? No, you shouldn't have to deal with piss bears. There should be more judicious about it. But the reaction shouldn't be going into the clubhouse asking for someone to be arrested.
Here's a question. So, you know, if we just call people that go piss in yard, you know, if you piss, you're a piss bear. You know, you've got bear spray to deter bears. You can do things to deter bears.
You run it out of the yard?
Well, you got like things you can do to deter bears.
Yeah.
What do you do to deter pissers if you live on a golf course?
That's a good question. We should send your emails to SGS Golf Advice if you live on a golf course.
I think it's got to be like you have like really big windows. That's
minimal cover. Like,
number one deterrent is a house with big windows.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. You need a bush and you need a tree. I mean, unless you're depraved and deranged, you're not urinating in just a blank field. Pasture.
I've got a buddy that on the golf course does that. You're just like, why? You're just peeing here?
See, now that I think is just, come on, people. This is a luxury. It's a privilege, not a right. Let's not abuse it. Let's keep it safe and, you know, within the bounds for all. So that's my answer. The woman's clearly a nut job. She can't be talking about arrest people. But your buddy should just wait a minute. Go to somewhere central of the property, not on the outskirts, I guess, with adjacent to a house. All right, that does it for this Friday episode. We'll still be in Ireland for another week. We got the Gold Standard coming up. We're going to watch Bay Hill over the weekend, catch up.
Be up late.
Lock into that Bay Hill all night. Yeah.
Up all night for Bay Hill.
Next episode, hopefully we won't have our teeth kicked in by happily kicked in. Happily. That was fun.
We'll be fresh off the other course.
Annesley course.
They told me
Figure out how to pronounce Ainsley, someone said. Annesley.
I don't know. Annesley in the pro shop and nobody corrected me.
Nobody looked at you like you were saying so McGinnis nice wasn't they as good. They've been really nice. Everybody's been really, unless you try to tell them they're full of shit about the Guinness being better.
Nobody's been mean about that.
I mean, they looked at you like you were being ridiculous. So,
but right. that course, they said bring an extra sleeve of balls. So
really,
yeah.
You better find your swing.
It's going to come with the legs are getting better.
Legs got to come back. All right. We're off to play more golf tomorrow. Listen to the Explorations feed. We're going to talk a little bit more about RCD over there tonight, as well as our travels and travails. We will be back with you on this podcast on Monday.